Oil breaks the record.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Records were made to be broken, I suppose, but I'm sure you were hoping this one wouldn't come so soon. The price of crude oil spiked to $70.88 a barrel in Asian and European trading today. That tops the record set August 30th, right after Hurricane Katrina. Fears about supply disruptions in Iran and Nigeria are the major reason. The price of gasoline has now climbed 10 cents in the last week. It's 54 cents higher than it was a year ago. For a long time now, home prices have been going up, but it appears the white-hot housing market's finally starting to cool. Today, we'll probably get some more stats to back it up, the number of new homes that got started last month. Stacey Vanek-Smith gives us the lowdown on where things might be headed.
After 14 years of record-breaking growth and eye-popping prices, the sector seems to be losing some steam.
This thing had to come to an end, and it's starting to come to an end now.
Christopher Thornburg is a senior economist with the UCLA Forecast. He says rising interest rates are a factor, as is waning enthusiasm from speculators. Still, Thornburg says the market was overdue for a down cycle.
We've never seen this rapid of price appreciation. We've never seen this pace of overbuilding. It's going to take a while for the overheated state of the market, the fact that prices are completely out of whack with anything realistic, it's going to take some time for this to work its way out of the system.
Thornburg says it remains to be seen whether the market will experience a soft landing and slowly decline or crash and jolt the economy. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
If you want to do a little light reading today, the Federal Reserve releases the minutes of its latest meeting. The comments can tell us a lot about what the Fed is thinking in terms of interest rates. And this is the first time we'll get a peek at the Fed under new chairman Ben Bernanke. Alisa Roth reports.
Looking at the minutes is still likely to be an exercise in reading between the lines, even with a new, less cryptic Fed chair. Some are waiting to see how much discussion there was among the Reserve Board members about future economic policy. The statement that came out right after the meeting hinted at a willingness to look ahead, says Hamilton College economics professor Anne Owen. But, she says, most people are just waiting to see what the minutes might or might not suggest about interest rates.
People are wondering, when is the Fed going to stop? And I think it'll be interesting to see whether there's any hint at all in these minutes about what the Fed is thinking about, you know, how many more rate increases are there going to be.
Owen says it's too hard to predict now what the Fed will do when it meets next. She says the market seemed to expect at least one more rate hike. The Fed meets again in May. In New York, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
All's fair in love and money. A Chicago divorce lawyer says today, the day after tax day, is one of the busiest for her kind. She says many people decide to file for divorce after they've filed their taxes and gotten a peek at the finances of their significant other. Things like secret bank accounts and unknown business investments can break up an already failing marriage. The price of oil, the price of gold, equal fears about inflation. The Dow dropped 63 points to 11,073. The Nasdaq fell 14. And the S&P 500 lost 3 points. Gold is at a 25-year high, opening today at $615 an ounce. This is Marketplace. What's the latest industry to suffer from an emerging monopoly? Marketplace's Lisa Napoli has the answer.
The American Medical Association studied metro areas across the country, and it found that in the majority of them, one single health insurer dominated the market. Dr. Jim Rohack is an AMA trustee.
Have less choice. These market dominant insurers will come in and force the physician or the hospital to sign a contract that's unfavorable, yet at the same time the premiums go up for the patient.
The AMA cites research that shows over the past decade, rampant consolidation has led to more than 400 healthcare mergers. Two insurers alone make up a third of the private health insurance market, WellPoint and United Healthcare. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
You're tuned in right now to the Marketplace Morning Report. We are produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft Dynamics, business solutions for CRM, supply chain, and financial management. Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. Market data and news brought to you by Reuters. Reporting from around the world, every day, every hour, every second. Reuters helps you stay in the know now.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Chinese President Hu Jintao arrives in the United States today. First stop, Bill Gates' house. Piracy is sure to come up in dinner conversation. Just about every Microsoft Windows program running in China is stolen. This week, we're taking a closer look at piracy, starting with a trip in the Wayback Machine to a time when the U.S. was stealing the profits of a literary giant, Charles Dickens. Here's Stephen Beard.
1842, the best of times and the worst of times for Dickens. He was making his first American tour. He adored the ideals of American society. He called the U.S. the Republic of my imagination, but he was still struggling financially and he deplored the widespread pirating of his novels.
Most American publishing houses reckoned to publish a vast array of British Victorian writers without paying royalties.
A bit like China's cavalier attitude to copyright today. John Drew of Buckingham University says Dickens decided to raise the issue of piracy in his first speech on American soil.
He felt that American society was a body of gentlemen in which one could expect the most courteous of environments in which to discuss a thorny issue like international copyright.
He was wrong. He was immediately pilloried by the American press, which had often reprinted his work without payment. They scorned his call for a copyright agreement between Britain and the US, says Paul Schlick of Aberdeen University.
He was accused of simply trying to drum up the money for himself and being greedy.
They said he should be grateful for the exposure.
If American publishers were reprinting his work, it was simply adding to his fame.
The press argued that America was a young country which could not afford to pay royalties. Sounds familiar. The Chinese have in recent years justified their piracy by saying China is a developing economy. Back in 1842, the American press told Dickens, "One day the American people will be able to pay more for books, and then you will prosper."
Later on, you know, when they can afford to buy a three-volume novel for 3 guineas, yours will be the books that they buy.
This infuriated Dickens, who wrote an angry letter denouncing the American press.
Is it not a horrible thing that every vile, blackguard and detestable newspaper, so filthy and so bestial, should be able to publish books, the authors of which do not reap one farthing from their issue?
Dickens got his revenge. In his next novel, Martin Chuzzlewit, he portrayed Americans as ignorant and brash, and he did eventually get the better of the pirates. When he returned to the States more than 20 years later, he charged people to hear him read his novels and made $1 million in today's money. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Tomorrow, our series on piracy continues with a look at who's really pocketing the profits. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
How do you know where you're